Emily, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well, and we kind of mentioned this off the top, and I know that you mentioned this to John Jang on Twitter as well. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us at Sportsnet 650. We wish him all the best, but I know that you wanted to give a shout out to him as well because I know you enjoyed talking to both me and Emily throughout the past couple years.
Yeah, I did. John is the best, and he's terrific at what he does. And I know you guys are going to miss him, and I'm sure your listeners will too. But I can't wait to see where he lands up, and now I just have two calls to show and call shows to call into, yours and wherever John is.
Oh yeah,
There you
that
go.
sounds good. And today it's myself and Bick Nizar. We look forward to talking with you as well as we move forward here on this show. And as far as the National Hockey League is concerned, I know last year you really enjoyed watching this Vancouver Canucks team, and your co-host on the ESPN on Ice podcast, Greg Wyshynski, predicted the Vancouver Canucks will be a playoff team. Well, 5 games in, they're now 3-2 on the season, and they make quick work of the Detroit Red Wings last night. And then you watch a guy like Quinn Hughes. You look at these young guys. How excited should Canucks fans be by what they're seeing from this team so far?
Yeah, undefeated since Bo becomes captain,
Yeah.
right? Not bad. I think one of the most encouraging signs is what they're seeing from the defensemen. I believe they have like the second or third most points from defensemen in the league right now. So that's a welcome development, especially because we've talked about how weak that blue line has been for so long. And really all the excitement, 2 years ago was about Brock Besser, last year was about Elias Pettersson. We talk about the offense so much. So I'd definitely be encouraged by what you're seeing from the blue line.
In Chicago, they have Captain Serious. In Vancouver, they have Captain Undefeated, as it is
Yeah,
going so
exactly.
far.
He's
One of the
pretty serious
trends,
too, though.
one of the trends we're noticing here with this team, and I think I want to ask you about how it relates to the rest of the league, is like versatility has been the king for the Canucks here through 5 games. That whatever style of play, the game goes into, they can play also. Is that something with teams now, like loading up one line and say you're our offensive line, and the rest of the team just has to be able to do different things? Is that kind of something you're getting a sentiment you're gathering how the league is going?
Yeah, for sure. I think, there's certain teams that just like to play their identity and their game, and it doesn't matter who they're going up against. They want to play their game, and they're disappointed if they can't do that. But more and more, yeah, I think we're seeing an adaptable style where teams can get into, big 6-5 shootouts and also play 2-1 defensive games. The problem is when you don't have the personnel to do either style. And, a team like the Canucks, but, again, encouraging, cautiously optimistic, is that they do feel like they have the personnel that can play, any kind of game, and that's exciting.
All right, we got to talk about what's going on in New Jersey. I know your co-host there, massive Devils fan, but they're winless so far, and it just hasn't looked good. Some of the decisions there, Jack Hughes is on third line, Gusev has played fourth line, power play two, and all that. It just How do they remedy this? And is there even remedy? Because now they announced that, their assistant GM is going to be on the bench. It just seems like everyone's going to be looking over their shoulder and potentially even playing scared now.
Yeah, perhaps. When you see a move like this, when the management gets into the coaching side, it's just because they want an ear on the floor to really figure out what's going on. One of the things that I find fascinating is I feel like everyone, it's recency bias in the league, right? So everyone's going to talk about who's going to be this year's St. Louis Blues. And, maybe that's the mantra they get behind and they say, okay, we're going to be the team that sucks at first and makes a change and goes on an incredible run. But there's no doubt that something needs to change. And one of the things that I really think they need to address is goaltending. Heading into the year, and it's a guy you guys are very familiar with, Corey Schneider told me he felt great. Last year, part of his issues were he was hurt, so it was physical, and then it was mental, then it was physical and mental, and he got in this spiral where he just couldn't find his game until late in the season. And entering this year, he said, hey, you know what? Like, physically, I feel great, and I think I'm mentally going to feel great. And then he comes off to a really shaky start, and Mackenzie Blackwood hasn't been much better. So I wonder, the blue line hasn't been giving them much help. I don't want to leave the goalies out high and dry, but one of the easiest fixes is perhaps, shopping the market and seeing, maybe you look at Ratio's connections in Pittsburgh, and maybe they go to Pittsburgh surplus of goalies and try to get a change in net.
Is there a timeline or a deadline when the Taylor Hall thing becomes too explosive and they have to find a resolution?
I don't know. I think they're going to be really patient with him. My sense from Taylor Hall, and I talked to him in the preseason, is he just wants to be around a team that is close to winning a Stanley Cup. That is going to be his biggest priority when he is a free agent this summer. And they just need to do everything they can in their power to make this team look like it's close to winning a Stanley Cup and get him to re-sign. So I think even if they're kind of losing and it's going late in the season, they'll still kind of make these desperation pleas to make him stay. Because, look, it's really hard to get that elite-level talent, and especially as a free agent. And if you've got even like a 50% chance of keeping him around, you got to go all in on that 50%.
Well, I mean, that's a big thing about that team as well. I mean, you're trying to convince Taylor Hall to stay. You made all these bets in the offseason. And a team that tried to make a number of bets but really didn't show one direction one way or another was the Minnesota Wild. And they've really struggled to start off the season. I mean, Bruce Boudreau, I guess somehow, some way through the GM under the bus or management under the bus saying, hey, I wish we could play faster. I wish I had a magic potion. I can make my players faster. But these are the guys I have and have to make do with it. You know, at what point does something have to give in Minnesota? Because we know Bruce Boudreau has survived a couple of changes with managers at this point. And if they don't right the ship soon, what's going to happen in Minnie?
Yeah, they're just this cautionary tale, right? When you kind of go all in and then all of a sudden it ages on you and you're stuck with all these bloated contracts. You know, when you listen to Bill Guerin, it sounds like he wants to give Bruce Boudreau every opportunity to succeed. When Bill Guerin came in, he really came at a disadvantage because he had to clean up a lot of the mess with Paul Fenton. And, you know, there was so much he needed to do. He kind of just needed to take stock of the organization and figure it out. I think they'd like to make some moves. I think there's moves they'd like to make. They just can't. So, I think that they let it go a little bit longer just because Bruce Boudreau is an experienced coach. And really, is there many better options out there? Are there any internal candidates they're looking at? I'm not sure. But if it continues to spiral and it feels like you're losing the room, that could be one to keep an eye on. But I will say that Bruce Boudreau has a reputation for like being a really quick turnaround guy. If he comes into a team, he can get them into shape. So if another team makes a change, I'd expect him to get snatched up.
Well, I was just going to say, it seems like he would be high in demand because the results have always been proven for him. But is there even any resolutions that can be made in Minnesota? Or are we just kind of here on this ship that's waiting to sink?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's not like there's like young prospects that are waiting in their wings and like, let's give them their chance. Their top prospects in Russia, he's not coming over anytime soon. You know, they need a youth movement. They need a speed infusing. And like Bruce Boudreau said, he doesn't have the magic spell to make his guys faster. So, you know, I don't think that he's going to like put them through skating conditioning tests for the next couple weeks and hope that they magically get faster.
Is there a team, we talk so much like who's the most surprising team, who's the, you know, the most disappointing team. Is there a team to you when you watch them kind of confirmed exactly what you expected to see and you're excited to see it continue?
I think it's the Carolina Hurricanes. I was really surprised when I heard so many people this offseason kind of poo-poo what they did last year and say there's no way they can sustain it, because to me, they play a really exciting brand of hockey. I love the way their defensemen jump in and get involved. I know we had some concerns about the goaltending and how it's going to hold up, especially because their goaltending wizard, goaltending coach Mike Bales left. But they've looked terrific to me so far, and I really enjoy watching them play. They look like they have fun playing. It looks like they really buy into what Rod Brind'Amour wants from them. So they're a team that, you know, I'm happy that they're matching the high expectations that they set for themselves and haven't taken a step back.
Buffalo Sabres, are they for real?
I think they might. I don't think they're for real in that they're going to, you know, keep up in the top of the Atlantic Division, but I think they're for real in that they have taken a step forward. And so much of that comes from Ralph Kruger. I really believe that they're buying into it. But, you know, I had a chance to talk to Jason Botterill last week, the GM, and he was talking about the lessons that he learned last year when they went on that hot winning streak and then weren't able to sustain it. And after they went on the 10-game winning streak, they actually had the worst record in the league. And he said, people forget how young we are and how inexperienced we are. Like, you look at Rasmus Ristolainen and Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart, they feel like they've been around for a while, but they're all under 24 and none of them have played in the playoffs. So he went out this offseason and the priority was getting guys with playoff experience. The biggest was Marcus Johansson, who's made the playoffs in 8 of 9 years. But, you know, there's Colin Miller, who made a long run with the Vegas Golden Knights. There's VC, who had a little bit of experience with the Rangers. You know, there's other guys that they got, too. Brandon Montour with the Ducks, he had that long run in 2017 or 2016, whatever it was. So I think that those moves are really adding up. And then you got a guy like Victor Olofsson, and, you know, that power play looks freaking fantastic. So, yeah, I think they have made improvements. I just don't know if they're a playoff team.
If I'm not mistaken, that goalie coach you were just talking about, Mike Bales, is in.
He did, yeah.
He's in Buffalo now, right? And obviously, one of the biggest improvements for them is going to be Carter Hart. And I think the guy they're really high on is Linus Hallmark.
Yeah, Carter Hutton. They wish they had Carter Hart.
Yeah, sorry, Carter Hutton.
You're just magically putting them out better. But yeah, you know, Hallmark is the guy of the future. And look, he's looked pretty good so far. Carter Hutton is supposed to just be a stopgap, but you're already seeing some tangible improvements. And Mike Bales is the guy that people in Pittsburgh say he revived Marc-Andre Fleury's career. So he should be the highest paid assistant coach in any organization, in my opinion. He does great work.
Is that the next frontier of how, you know, teams start spending on coaching and management, that they're really going to invest in this goaltending consultants, coaches, whatever it is? Because, you know, like, there's no cap there.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a great question. You know, the reason that Mike Bales left Carolina is he wasn't getting the contract that he wanted. You know, we talk about Tom Dundon being cheap. He really just tries to find value in things, and he didn't find value in that position. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, it's interesting because it's such an individualized position. The one trend I do see here to stay is the goaltending platoon. I really do believe that general managers now see the importance of taking some workload off their starter and finding not one, but two really dependable goaltenders. You look at a team like Boston, they've really done it well. Dallas has done it well. That's the trend that I see more so in goaltending, but I'd be curious. I'd love to know the salaries of these guys. I wish that were public.
Well, and then goaltending value might be changing slightly. And we saw that in free agency, the only outlier was the Florida Panthers, who gave that huge contract to Sergei Bobrovsky. Everybody else was paying their goalies $4.5 to $5 million on a single year deal, 2 years or 3 years, something in that range. And then the outlier was the Panthers. But then you start looking at, you saw the crunch last year, even the Canucks, when they needed a goalie. I mean, you had to give up a seventh-round pick for a guy that nobody would even put in an NHL game. That's just the value of the goalies at this point. Are we seeing goalie values increase with the dearth of them, with teams not able to have two guys? Because I look at Boston, they're splitting starts with Tuukka Rask and Rjatoslav Halak so far, and the Canucks need Demko to play well for them as well. Are we seeing goalie values shift a little bit here moving forward?
I think we are. You mentioned it. I think there is overall lack of talent right now. It's not like a big scarce, but it's just not enough teams can put up two goaltenders that feel dependable, like you mentioned, like Boston can with Halak and Rask, or Anton Khudobin and Ben Bishop. So I do think this is a trend we're going to see. You also, feel like this is maybe an area where teams want to find value and perhaps get a guy in on an entry-level deal. And, a team I'm thinking of specifically is the Washington Capitals. They get their top prospect, Samsonov, as the number two this year, and they're wondering, okay, Braden Holtby's up for an extension. Do we really want to pay him, or can we save a ton of money and give this kid a chance? So those are definitely all situations to monitor.
Emily, always a pleasure chatting with you. Follow Emily on Twitter, at Emily M. Kaplan, courtesy of ESPN's NHL coverage and the ESPN on Ice podcast. Always a lot of fun, and we look forward to chatting with you again soon.
My pleasure, guys.
Sportsnet 650.